chapter. So let's look, and you're going to think at the end, you've heard this before, but I don't think so. Proverbs chapter 9. Again, we're just going to get new information, additional information about what is wisdom. What does wisdom look like? You want wisdom, what does it look like? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. The title of the message just really focuses on those center messages, the contrast between the scorner, or the scorner, the scoffer, and the wise, right? And so we'll see that. So let's just look a little bit when we start here this evening about wisdom. It talks about wisdom again, and this just gives us some additional perspective. Look at verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. And so if we want to understand this, wisdom builds. Wisdom builds your house. And I want us all to think about that. It doesn't matter whether you're the head of the house or not. Everybody is part of a household in this room tonight. And so wisdom would help you build your home. Every single one of us, right? We need to answer that question. How am I affecting my home? Am I building it? Am I a source of good? Am I a source of evil? You know, hindsight's 20/20. And sometimes I can tell why families are a mess when I meet their moms and dads. It's not always the fault of the mom and dad. But when I see, and so I want to come to this, when I just see parents sometimes, it's no wonder their kids are a mess. I think I've told you this, right? We homeschooled our kids, and before we homeschooled our kids, here's what we always thought. We always thought homeschooled kids were all weird, right? That's what we thought, you know, and so that was back in the day. So, you know, like homeschool was like, oh, you know, I remember when I grew up, it's like, I never wanted to be homeschooled, right? So we homeschooled our kids, and here's what I finally determined. Weird parents create weird kids. It wasn't homeschooling that created weird kids. It's weird parents that create weird kids. Are you creating a house that will know the Lord? Here's the key. You guys know this verse, Psalm 127:1. It says, except the Lord build the house. I'm pro homeschooling, by the way, you know. And so my favorite part of homeschooling is you can ask them what grade you're in, and half the time they're not sure, right? That's all right. I also tell folks this, just a freebie, right? So, and I tell Jill this, you pray for Jill. She's about to, you know, begin teaching Tyler, and Jill's so laid back and relaxed that it's this, Jill, you're going to do a great job. Here's the key. Who cares? You can't hurt him as long as you do what this says. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I told my kids all the time, the reason we homeschooled was we wanted you to have character. I don't really care about reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's secondary. Understand that? That's secondary. He's going to learn to read. And if he doesn't learn to read until he needs a job, who cares? I know he's going to learn to read, and I know you're like, you know, he's seven. and Tyler's not that. He's not reading. Take a chill pill. Relax, right? And so Bill, take care of the principal now. Take care of the teacher. And so it is, I never want you to forget this. If you've taught your children to behave and they respect the authority that is over them, and they're struggling in school, you know what? That is secondary. You need to get involved and help them as much as you can. But I'm just telling you, it's the spiritual that matters, okay? It's the spiritual that matters. We get all up in arms, and it's just so crazy. I mean, you know how easy people like, Mom, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. Well, you don't have to go to church. You know, but they make them go to school. You stink and make them go to church. I'm just telling you, it is, because what you're teaching them is this. Dakota, I think I've told you guys this story before, right? So Dakota, this is many years ago. You know, Dakota, I still disciple him on Tuesday nights via video. And this is many years ago. I said, well, how did church go on Sunday? He goes, I was sick. You know, Dakota's in his mid-20s. I said, you were sick. I said, did you go to work on Friday? I said, did you go to work today or yesterday? I said, when's the last time you missed work? And he said, I've never missed work for being sick. I said, so you're honoring your employer more than you are God. I said, I'm telling you this, unless you have something that'll kill people and is contagious grossly, I said, you need to go to church. So you know how we open every Bible study? Were you sick on Sunday? And so he starts every Bible study now and goes, I wasn't sick on Sunday. Let me tell you about the message. And so let me just tell you, parents, we are teaching our kids what is most important. And most parents think reading, writing, and arithmetic is more important than God. I don't care. I want my kids to read. It's fine. Education's good. But knowing God's way better. Way better. That's the priority. And so, accept the Lord build the house. And this is the key. What kind of house are we building? Is it a house that knows God? Doesn't matter if you're poor. You can be rich in Christ. Accept the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Accept the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. We need the Lord. Wisdom says this, and you have to have a plan. I've talked to a number recently, right? Don't let the plan eat you up. Because I've got some, they make a plan, and all of a sudden they become a slave to the plan. No, don't let the plan destroy you, but have a plan and then be flexible with the Lord. Have a plan with how you're going to build the house, how you're going to make a difference. So Eli, you just can't wait to be on your own, and that's all right. It's a yearning within you. That's not rebellion. That's not terrible. It's a yearning within you that I think is God-given. You want to be your own man one day, right? But man is stinking expensive, isn't it? And so what's that? He doesn't know that yet. That's good. But it's this. So it is this. But right now, have a plan how you are going to help build the Mentor household that you're a part of now so that you begin to practice, how can I be a positive element within my home that'll help my dad, my mom, honor the Lord better, because it's not as easy as they make it look. And so you're like, I don't think I make it look that easy. And so it is, you know, have a plan. And then trust the Lord with it, but don't let the plan eat you up. Wisdom builds her house. Her house is stable. Look at this in verse 1. Whoso hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. And so what I see is just the seven pillars just talk about the stability, the pillars. The house will rest on the pillars. Yes, the foundation is critical. It must be Christ. The pillars, the house will stand on the pillars. I take you to these verses. You're familiar with them. I love the second verse. I haven't combine these enough. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, James 4:8, really the only time it talks about double-minded in that fashion in the scriptures, draw nigh to God. We need to get closer to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It gives clarity. The double-mindedness is that we're dabbling in sin while we're trying to walk with God. The double-mindedness is the instability of Christians. It will destroy homes. I've seen it. I've seen people that aren't willing to just do what God says to do, and it destroys their family. I meet people 20 years after their family, and sometimes the answer becomes clear. Oh, now I understand why your kids are a mess. I don't tell people that. But I watch their own instability, and I watch it acted out in their kids. Your kids are going to take whatever your weakness is and make it 10 times worse. It's one of the horrifying things, because and it will bother you more when they display it than when you display it. I think Matthew 7 is more in parents to children as they grow up, and you're like, I can't believe that. And then you realize they got that from me. You see, wisdom, we will build our house. Wisdom, we will build our house with stability. Seek the Lord, draw nigh unto Him. You want, and so I'm telling you this, I'm not speaking to anybody in particular tonight, but just imagine somebody hears this message, and you've been unstable, you've been divisive in your home, you haven't built up your house, you've just always negative. What I would tell you to do, you can't change yesterday, just start doing that today. Stop worrying about the effect of everything you've done in the past because you can't change it. Just start doing right today. Start building your house with the plan that the Lord will help build it, with the plan that's stable, with the plan that's humble, with the plan that you might gather your whole family together. This ought to happen every 6 months, every year within your family. Family, let's get together! And then you confess all the things that you've done wrong. And so then you start to do right. Start to do right. Wisdom builds her house. Wisdom builds her house with stability. Wisdom prepares to nourish others. Look at this in verse 2. You'll just see this throughout verses 2 through 6, but we'll focus on verse 2. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. That word wine there does not indicate fermentation. You'll see that Proverbs speaks so much against strong drink, right? The Bible distinguishes between strong drink and wine, or what I would call grape juice. She hath mingled her beast. She hath killed her beast, excuse me. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, and crieth upon the highest place of the city, and invites people. It's this. Wisdom prepares to nourish others. Wisdom says, I'm not just living for myself. I'm just not living for my family. Because when we talk about building the house, we build the house. And one of the great attributes of a Christian is that we are hospitable, that we want others to come, and we want others to be nourished. We want others to feast on the things that God has shown us. We want others to partake of the blessings that God has given us. It is not intended that we live life selfishly. Wisdom, not only does it take care of our own, but at the same time, we set a table, and we are constantly calling others. We're calling others. So look at Isaiah 58:10. I love this passage. It says, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. It's this. It's one of the things God talks about all the time, that we would help the hungry. We would help the afflicted. We would seek to help people. It was fun. I was blowing the leaves off in the driveway today, and did that visit go well? They spoke great English, didn't they? Yeah, so that was good. Hispanic family, but really good English, right? It wasn't a Hispanic family. Okay, my eyes are bad, right? So it's terrible. They weren't. All right, who cares what background they are? But I was just thrilled that they spoke good English. Any inroads spiritually? Okay, great. That's awesome. I love it, right? So they walked up. They drove up. They passed, because I was blowing off the lead, and they passed, right? And I was like, looked like they wanted to turn down here, but I scared them or something. I don't know. And then they pulled down, and they said, we were looking for the clothing. And I said, oh, Closet of Hope. They said, yeah. I told them where to go. It's a great ministry. See, it's a great ministry. We want to help their souls, but it is our church needs to be ready, needs to prepare to nourish others. That's what wisdom would say, right? Wisdom calls to others. Wisdom calls to others. Look at verse 4. It says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith, Come, eat of my bread." For those needing understanding, you're going to hear this tonight. So tonight's talking about, in this passage, I think, those that are seeking understanding, those that are needing understanding. God, you know, when the Bible says in Romans 3:11, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God, that's when God leaves us to ourselves. No one will seek after God, no one will understand. But what it says in John 1:9 is he lights everyone that comes in the world. He gives everyone that comes in the world understanding. Right? And so I want you to understand that is you can only teach people, and really I'm going to suggest this, we can only truly help eternally those that are interested. You follow me? We can't cram it down their throats. And so when people resist, when people show just, you know, they show no value in the things of God, kindly and lovingly move on. God may bring them back into your life at another time, but we aren't here. You're going to see that. And so it's a call to others needing understanding. It's a call to others to forsake the foolish and live. Look at verse 6. It says, look at verse 5. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. The reality is, we, you know, there's only so many Bible studies you can do. There's only so many people that you can help. And we're limited. We have to make choices. And what I tell you to do is, so I do distinguish my choices. I'm way more patient if the person's lost, if I think they're lost. Because I can't expect them to have the understanding and behavior of a saved person. You understand that? But if someone tells me they're convinced they're saved and they don't want to forsake the foolish, I'm probably not going to pursue them aggressively. You understand that? It is, and so all of us, we're going to see that the wise, we receive rebuke, right? Third thing is, call to others, waiting, wanting to go the way of understanding. Look at this in verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. And so this is our desire. We want to help every single person. But Randall, I don't know how many Bible studies, you know my philosophy is, you know, you're raising a family, serving the Lord here in a church, you're pursuing additional education. You know, my perspective is the max number of Bible studies you could handle is 2 to 4. Maybe one night doing 2 Bible studies, and if you did every other week, you could do 4. But you couldn't do 4 during a week, probably. That'd be because you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then, you know, you would take another night for Bible studies, and that's pretty dominating. And maybe you can handle more, and don't let my numbers limit you. But if you're limited to something like that, right? I mean, it's not going to be 10, is it? I don't think there's anybody that has to work for income that could probably handle 10 that's married, raising children, right? If you're single, you have more freedom, you have a little bit more time. But in that scenario, so what I do is I tell you this: teach them whoever you have, and then when you're like, I don't know, I have to make choices, I would use some of this criteria. Who is it that's showing interest? Who is it that is showing that they want to forsake the foolish? They want to live. Who is it that wants to go in the way of understanding? Even if they're struggling, spend time with them, help them. Do they listen to you? I think I've talked about this. I talk about so many things privately, I don't remember what I say from the pulpit. But we are in a therapy world today. Have I talked this from the pulpit? That people will sit down with you and it's a therapy session because they'll feel better, but they'll never listen to you. I spend less and less time with him. You guys could think, I'm not asking us to be mean. We ought to be kind. We're going to hear that Sunday night, you know, love is kind, love is patient. But I'm just telling you that we are called to help others. And what we have to do is we have to discern, is this the time that I can help them? People will they'll suck up your time, but they won't ever listen. And I hope that in our midst, that we will listen to God. That we'll listen to God and want to do what God wants. Now, wisdom for the teacher. There's two groups of people that it talks about here. The scoffers and the wise man. Look, if you will, scoffers, scorners. Look at this in verse 7 through 9. He that reproveth a scorner, I should have said scorner, I don't know why I put scoffer. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, right? Let me just give you, I've written these down because it's kind of good. I love this. Warren Wiersbe said this: fools, scoffers, and the simple like to have their own way and be told they're doing fine. Listen to that. Fools, scoffers, and the simple like to have their own way and be told they're doing fine. But wise men and wise women want the truth. Teach wise people and they'll accept the truth and become wiser. Try to teach fools and they'll reject the truth and become even greater fools. It's interesting. Look at verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. It is... And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. So I was trying, and I was just looking up because I thought, well, is what's the difference between a skeptic and a scorner? If this was Sunday school, we'd have a good time with that, right? A skeptic and a scorner, right? A skeptic. See, I thought I had this down here. I thought I put down a definition for this. I didn't. Well, I'll just tell you, a skeptic is a person that's not sure. Skeptic is a person that not sure, they need your help, they want you to prove it, and I don't mind. I tell people, come with your skepticism. A scorner mocks the things of God. They ridicule the things of God. They mock common sense, right? That's the scorner. And here's what the Bible says, verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. You know, all that reproof is, reproof, and I got this definition here. Reproof is the act of pointing out a fault, error, or sin to show someone they are wrong. And so, I'm going to tell you why I'm doing this. Let me show you this Bible verse here. I love 2 Timothy 3:16, and we're going to explain the difference. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So reproof is highlighting the problem. Correction is the solution. Listen, I love this definition better than what I just said. Reproof is the act of pointing out a fault, error, or sin to show someone they are wrong. Look at verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. A scorner's not interested. So listen to this. Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? Do you want to understand what you're doing wrong? Will you receive input from others and take it to heart? Will you? Or will you scorn it? Will you mock it? Reproof is the act of pointing out a fault, error, or sin to show someone they're wrong. Correction goes a step further by guiding that person back to the right path and showing them how to fix the behavior. The scorner says, I don't care what you say. In essence, you know what a scorner is? It's a fool. It's a fool that won't listen. A fool that won't listen. Look at verse 8 and 9. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Very consistent with Matthew 13:12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. It's this. It's crazy. The wise get wiser. The foolish get more foolish. It's the principles that God has set forth. Look at verse 9 again. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. It is, parents, somehow, and I don't want to hurt your objective, because I think I could have, the way I talked about school. I talked about school could hurt your kids. Kids, I want you to listen up here. I want you to listen up. I am pro-learning. I want you to learn, Elizabeth. I want you to love learning. I want you to like slurp it up, okay? I want you to love it. I want all of our, yeah, it's like I'm hungry too. But it is, I want you to love learning. I want you to love learning, okay? Now, so Vincent, I don't know where you're at on the school thing, but it's this. Here's what you need to do. You need to learn. Let's say you don't like school. I'm not saying that. So what you have to, here's what you do. You need to learn to submit and do it, okay? Because not everything in life is what you want, right? I didn't say you have to love the education process. But if you mess up and you all of a sudden have this and you say, I don't like learning, that's foolish. You see the difference? You have to do school. Have a good attitude about it, all right? That's what God would want. I didn't say you want to go to school for the rest of your life. I don't, right? I'm not going to school. I've been done so long, man. You got a long time to go, buddy. Hang in there. But it's so, but you need to have a good attitude about it, right? You need to do what you need to do and do it well. Have a good attitude about it. But let's say you don't like school. You like school? Okay. You need to do it with a good attitude. How's the attitude coming? Okay, is it coming okay? It's okay. We need to be higher than okay. Okay is like a 5 out of 10. We need to be 8. Anyway, here's what we're doing. I want you to love learning, though. Do you see there's a difference? You must do school because you need to kind of like do the basics, right? I mean, you don't want to be like, oh, you know, you don't want to be like not, you know. So you need to learn to do the basics, but you need to love to learn. You need to have a thirst to learn. You need to just love learning. And one day when God, when he reveals the gifts he's given you, you're going to love using the gifts, use them for God. Because when you use what he's made you good at, it's not work, okay? I want you guys to understand this. I know I could really hurt you parents. I love to learn. I hate the systems that you kind of have to learn what they make you learn. I'm like, but remember this, Vincent, this is so important. I didn't know I was talking to my clone, right? And so it's like this, man. My point when I went to school was have the most amount of fun with the least amount of effort. And I was focused on getting that A. That's all I really cared about. Didn't worry about I kind of missed out a little bit. Wish I'd learned Spanish. And that's really my only regret in school, that I didn't learn Spanish. I think I would have always been good at math just because I think that's what God equipped me to do that. But I had an attitude about Spanish. I regret that. I think it was sin. So anyway, love to learn. Love to learn. Are you seeing the difference? The adults are. The kids are like, I'm so confused. I'm so confused. We need to learn to do the things we need to do. You got it? What grade are you in? He knew. That's in fourth grade. Fourth grade, right? So you got, are you going into fourth? Fifth. Going into fifth? I love it. Well, you know, so he's like, seventh, you know, we can skip you. So you're going into fifth. So you got fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th. 8 years. How old are you? 10. 80% of your life still have to go to school. That's going to be miserable if you have a bad attitude about it, right? Am I right? It's something you need to do because that's what God would have you to do. Love learning, do school. Follow me? Now, some of you guys that like school, happy for you. But it is, you follow me? Understand this? Not everything we do in life, but you need to love learning. I want you to learn, love learning about God. What is it that you love? What is it that you love? Sorry about this. Me and Vincent haven't talked in a while. What is it that you love? Girls. No, just kidding. It's like, no. What is it that you love? Riding your dirt bike. That's good. Well, I don't know if you're going to be able to provide for a family by riding your dirt bike, but, you know, it's this. You love to be outside, right? You love to probably do things with your hands. And so maybe just watch your dad learn and then figure out what you love to do. Do it for the Lord, right? And so I love that, right? If you had asked me when I was 10, what do you love to do? I don't know what I've said. Play basketball or something dumb. But it's this. God wants you to love life. Never part from him, okay? Everybody in here, do you love learning? Do you love when people are trying to help you and when they give you feedback? We need to receive it. We need to receive it. A wise man will. Now, so I'm going to talk about being teachable. I'm going to show you some verses here. Being teachable. It's the difference between a scorner and a wise man or woman. A scorner goes, I don't want it. So let's just look at some scripture verses here. Be teachable. Wherefore, my beloved, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, we could have a great Sunday school discussion. I believe this is dealing with the Word of God. I think this would be great practical application that you would manage your temper this way. But I think it's this: swift to hear God's word, slow to speak. You know, just be careful before you speak. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Don't get angry with God when you hear it from the Scriptures. I believe it's dealing with the Scriptures. So it's this: be teachable, swift to hear, soak it in, slow to speak, need to think about it, and slow to wrath. Be great principle just for anger. But Matthew 11:29, Jesus, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's the most, in particular with me, if you ever hear me quote that, I've forgotten that phrase so many times. It's one of the key phrases where Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's one of the key phrases. He says, take my yoke upon you, and his yoke is easy, and his burden, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I was having a good time yesterday with Sean. And I don't think Sean was intending to help me with this, but my epiphanies are mud puddles. But you know, I've said this: if Jesus was sitting right next to you, would you behave better? Well, Sean goes, because we were talking about Peter in the courtyard of Caiaphas, and when Jesus looked down about it, and Sean goes, huh. He said, Jesus was right there, and Peter still denied him. And I was like, well, that's very good, Sean. And I was like, Jesus is here, number one, just not in his body. But what happens if he was really here? We would get too familiar with him. Peter cursed and swore. I don't know. You know, it says that Jesus looked upon him. I'm convinced that Peter's eyes met his. That's not in the Bible. But it says Jesus looked upon Peter, saw him. And so Sean just helped me. It's a matter of the heart, isn't it? It is being in the presence of God, but it's a matter of the heart. You could have Jesus right there. Judas did. 3 years. It's a matter of the heart. Learn of Christ. Here's the key. Are you bored with Jesus? Be excited about the Scriptures. You know, I would tell you this. Ask questions and then search the Scriptures. Don't search Google. Don't search other commentaries. Just search the Scriptures. I'm okay with word searches, right? Use your app on your phone and search words to go find things. But search the Scriptures. Ask yourself questions. Search the Scriptures so that you would know Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Will we learn him? The biggest problem in our lives is we're done learning about Jesus. You will not grow. In fact, you'll decline if you're done. Psalms 25, verse 4 and 5. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Teaching's critical. Zechariah 7. But they refused to hearken. This is kind of the bad part. If you don't listen, aren't teachable. But they refused to hearken. Refused to listen. And pulled away the shoulder. Stopped their ears and that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, hardened their hearts, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. You want to buck against the things of God, just in your heart. There's consequences when we aren't teachable. Poverty and shame to be to him that refuseth instruction. Love learning. Love learning. But he that regardeth reproof, someone telling you, God's word telling you, what you're doing is wrong. He that regardeth reproof shall be honored. It is, it's the key. Let me tell you, I'm the worst delivery person in the world. You know, I'm going to make this statement, and you're going to say, wow. Most of the things I say are right. I usually have scripture to back it up. It's how I say it is my problem. I'm not saying that arrogantly when I say most. You, Damien, you ever say things you think are wrong? Most of the things you say you think you're right too. I'm the only guy that says it. But it's this. Don't let how I say it be the cause of you rejecting it. I do need to improve. I do need to be kinder. I do need to work on my delivery. And I'm not done. I promise you, by God's grace, I might be 5 days from dying, and I'm still going to try to honor the Lord better. When should I stop? I want to deliver better. Trust me, I do. I don't want you guys to be like, that's not my objective. Don't let the delivery cause you to discount what was said. Not just from me. Most people aren't good with delivering correction or reproof, are they? We use that for the cause of us rejecting something that could help us greatly. The blessings of heeding God's instruction. Go back to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We hear that constantly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It's the blessings of heeding God's instruction is understanding. And it's the knowledge of the holy. Here's the super important point. It is wisdom results in holiness. Wisdom results in godliness. Wisdom doesn't result in evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Understand this. If you are not doing what's right, if I am not doing what's right, I am acting foolishly. Wisdom will result in an understanding and a knowledge of the holy, and wisdom is the action of what we know to be right. We act upon it. Wisdom will lead you to do what's right. You're foolish. I'm foolish when I refuse to do what God says. The blessings of heeding is we'll have understanding and we will have knowledge of the holy. Secondly, verse 11, Proverbs has this all over. For by me, this is by wisdom, thy day shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. You want to live longer. Dick Van Dyke, is he dead yet? He's not dead yet. That guy's 100 years old, right? I saw this little video of him where he said, you know what's funny about life? He said, the older you get, he said, the longer you want to live. He said, I'm not worried about death. I think I'll be okay. Dick Van Dyke there's no indication that he has a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But you know what I'm going to guess? I'm making this up. Dick Van Dyke, he may have had, he didn't live a foolish life. If he doesn't know Christ, it's completely a different story. But Dick Van Dyke, 100 years old, doesn't know Christ. But he's lived a long life. 100 years is nothing for eternity. You want to live long here? I think it's a good thing. I want to live long. But you need wisdom. Third, it's personal benefits. Look at verse 12. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. You know, I don't know why anybody exercises. I guess you could exercise. You could say, I'm exercising for my family that I'll live longer. But really, when you exercise, you're doing it for yourself. Am I right? I mean, is anybody out there going, I'm working out for Deanna? Right, Clay, you know, working out for Deanna. She doesn't care, you know. We think, you know, I'm looking, Deanna. She goes, Clay, there's a dirty diaper over there. Can we get busy on that? And it's, so when you're working out, it's for your own personal benefit. I don't think that's a problem. When you have wisdom, you're the one that'll benefit. Look at that, verse 12. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. Scorners, I think scorners live a lonely life. And they make excuses why they're lonely. They make excuses why they don't have friends. The real reason is because they're foolish. Scorners are foolish. It may be cool when you're young, to come across as a rebel. You want to be a scorner? You want to ridicule what is good and holy? You'll have a lonely life. You want to have wisdom? You're the one that'll benefit. You're the one that'll benefit. Final thought is contrasting a foolish woman. This isn't the same as we've really had. You guys, I hope he doesn't go over that women stuff again. It's a little different here. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. First, the Bible says foolish woman is clamorous. She's loud, noisy, aggressive, but foolish. I'm not saying it's sinful for someone to be loud. But the foolish woman, what you're going to see is this is a combination. The foolish woman, this ought to help men understand this, but it ought to also help women understand this. Don't be this kind of woman. You're going to see what this kind of woman, where she gets her satisfaction. It says a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. The Bible says she's simple, knows nothing. She has no depth in her. She has no real substance in her, and she knows nothing. And then look at this. She sitteth at the door of her house and on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, and as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread in secret is pleasant. A foolish woman seeks satisfaction in men. And so understand this. This is a little bit different angle, and I think this text gives me a little bit different angle. Most of the time the Bible talks about this foolish woman, it's a warning to the men. Because men are that shallow. Men are that simple. Men are that they're easily deceived. They easily fall. But this one's talking about the woman, that she seeks satisfaction in men. I'm going to tell you this, is that I'm thinking of no one, but I believe the Bible, and I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to warn us all. If your satisfaction is in men, you can get them. But if you're a clamorous woman who is simple and knows nothing, that's exactly the kind of man that you'll get. I will tell you, you can get a man. And then you can get the next one, and the next one, and the next one. I don't know what you've gotten. There are men that'll fall for it a dime a dozen. Men are the flakiest creatures created by God. But I warn this. It is just everybody wants to be attractive. Everybody would like to think that someone is interested. And I will just tell you this, God's interested in you. I know, you say, oh, Steve, that's just so. It's true. If we just find our satisfaction in Christ. So I warn, and I'm not warning anybody in this room. I'm not thinking of anybody. I promise you I'm not. I just know this. The world is full of simple women that are loud, that are clamorous, that are simple. They know nothing, and they draw men in. And they chew them up and spit them out. I'm going to tell you this. The woman, ultimately, is as miserable as the men that they destroy. There's no satisfaction. You can feel good that you can get a man anytime you want. But I will just tell you this. What you get, they will only get men who are as foolish as them. That's really verse 17 and 18. Do you see this? Here's what, this is the motivation of this woman. Stolen waters are sweet, verse 7, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. It's this. Oh, it'll give me a heart rush. Let's do something secret. Stolen waters, right? And then what happens is, that's what you're going to keep seeking the rest of your life. And it says this, it speaks of the man in verse 18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. I tell you this, it's the foolish man that'll go after the foolish woman. But the foolish man, the foolish woman, the only kind of man she'll get is not really what she wants. Understand this. God's ways are better. What kind of person are you? Are you a wise person that values instruction, that values correction, that values reproof, that says, you know, I want to do what's right. I want to honor the Lord. And it really doesn't matter. It's okay if my feelings get hurt. I just want to honor the King. Or are you a person, nobody could teach you if they gave you $10,000? Nobody could teach you for anything. What kind of person are you? Wise, and although it may hurt, you want to learn. Foolish, you don't care, you're doing it your way. Let's pray.